With you this morning, I found in that portion of Mark's Gospel which we read, chapter 10 and at verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto the man that is blind, Bartimaeus, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." What do we want out of life? What are the most important things to us? We show that choice, we show these priorities from the choices that we make, the way we spend our time and our energy, the way we get excited about certain things. All of these are indicators of what is important to us. For some, that takes them in the direction of the offerings and the things of this world. But for others, we get excited and we make choices along spiritual lines and along spiritual ways. We want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be with him, whereas others may wander off into other areas. People ask them, what do you want out of life? To win the lottery, to be comfortable, to be healthy, to be well off. But here in our story this morning, Bartimaeus was asked that very question, what do you want me to do for you? And there would have been no doubt many different options tumbling through his mind. There would have been many different choices that he might possibly wanted to make or to give. He didn't have much. He could have wanted a lot. But we find him breaking through all of these choices. And he speaks with a resolve, with a conviction. There's a determination in what he says. I want to see. That was the most important thing for him. I want to see. And by that man's experience and the question and answer that we have before us here, the same type of question and challenge comes down to us today. We've come to church, and we come to listen to what God is saying to us through the Scriptures and through the Gospel, to the Bible that we've got in our hands. God is speaking to us here through the sermon, this one and many others. He is meeting us and confronting us. And the question we can have in our minds, the challenge is, what do you want God to do for you? What do you want God to do for you? We come and we present ourselves before him. We wait upon him and we worship him. We do all of these things, but the question comes as to our motivation and our desire. What do we want from God? And again, we have the example and the challenge of Bartimaeus. What do we want God to do for us today, now? The spiritual message of Bartimaeus ought to color and to determine our answer to that question. That we might see, that we might have life, that here in church and in the presence of God before him, just alone with God, that we might know his touch upon our soul, that the things that we've heard from sermons, the things we've heard from parents, the things that we've read, we cannot quite understand or get our mind around these things. There's something missing in our understanding. Is a key that's not there that opens things for us. What's missing? Lord, help me to see. Lord, give me understanding that I might have my sight, that I might see myself, that I might see the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I might see him in such a way that I trust him just as this man did, who followed Jesus in the way. Let's look at what this story brings before us then, this morning. And the first thing I want us to think of is the care of the Lord Jesus Christ himself shown here. He goes out on several different times to tell the disciples what kind of death he is going to experience and what the disciples are to expect when the crisis moments arise in Jerusalem. And he tries to prepare them by telling them what's going to happen. It's going to involve betrayal. It's going to involve humiliation and suffering. It's going to involve a fearful challenge and shaking of their life and their commitment and the things which they held on to and they thought were stable. And he's seeking to prepare them. But in doing that, he is also giving us an insight into his own experience of why he's come to the cross, or at least why he's come to this world to die upon a cross. And as the days unfolded towards Jerusalem, and as the time was passing, it was like an increasing burden to our Lord. He knew the time scale. He knew what was happening, and he knew the destiny that was in front of him. And the temptation was to be captivated by it, to be taken up and to be engrossed with it. The temptation was that he would focus his whole mind and his whole thought upon preparing himself, knowing what was coming. It's a fearful thing when you know that there is suffering and pain down the line. You can't avoid it. And it takes a great amount of self-discipline and preparation on our part to know that we've got to go down there and face it. And yet, when the needs of other folks broke into his life, when the needs of other people stopped him in his tracks, when the needs of others were confronted by him, he did not brush them aside, but he devoted himself to meeting the need of those that were coming to him. The cry of need out of a poor, broken heart, out of life like Bartimaeus and many others like him, round about him and down through the years. The cry of need that comes from you and me when we don't have anywhere to go or anyone to lean upon or to look to. When we've got nothing left that we can summon to our help. When we're on our uppers, bumping along the bottom. When all we can do is cry out to the Lord. Here there is a tremendous encouragement that he hears. It touched his heart. The Savior, with a shadow of the cross and the prospect of suffering looming large in his life, yet he had compassion on the blindness of Bartimaeus. We see that same concern, we've mentioned it often enough, for the disciples when they were anxious, when we read John chapter 13 and John chapter 14. There we have Judas being going away from the company of the disciples to organize things for the last moments of our Lord and being excluded, as it were, from the company. The Lord then goes on to explain more carefully to the disciples what's going to happen. And they're anxious about the parting. And he goes out to bolster them and to strengthen them. Deals with a blind man. He deals with fretting disciples. Whatever need there might be, wherever there is anxiety and concern, as we turn and present ourselves and call out to the Lord for His help. Distant though we might think Him to be in glory and in heaven, that's no barrier nor obstacle to His helping us now. Distance and time does not weaken nor drain that compassion. There are no barriers that intervene and prevent His intervention. Here we have the Lord caring for one who was in need. He was blind. But that is only one specific example of a whole variety of needs that we might feel from time to time or is round about us in our day. And so we are encouraged. Encouraged to call out to the Lord with the conviction and the comfort that He will not. He will not turn us away. We were thinking just a few weeks back of that great privilege that is open for us, that's talked of and told us in Hebrews chapter 4 at the end of that chapter. We have a great high priest. A priest who can sympathize with us because He knows what we're going through. The Lord has lived and walked upon this earth. He has lived a human life just as we have and we do. He knows what it is to be tired, to be disappointed, to be let down. The whole range of human experience He knows because He's been through them, except for the experience of sin. But He cares. He cares and He is able to help us in that time of need. And especially when we've got a spiritual concern. When we're looking for peace and we need sight and understanding and help. When the devil is making trouble in our soul on a massive scale. And when we feel a fearful weight upon our conscience. To whom can we go? We can go to only one. And He speaks with that care and compassion. As He did with Bartimaeus, so with us today. What do you want me to do for you? The care of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've got to also take time to understand the condition of Bartimaeus himself. It's a familiar experience. He was blind. It's a terrible affliction to be a prisoner of darkness. Not being able to look out at the beauty and the wonder of God's creation. No understanding of the relative things that are going on round about him in spatial terms. Not being able to see what people speak of when they talk about a clock, a bench, a tree. Not being able to understand what these terms mean because there's no relevance, there's no experience, there's no memory that can help him. He doesn't know what these things are. What a fearful condition to be in. To live in a world where you're stumbling along and you can't make sense of what you're hitting. And you can't see what's ahead of you. And you're floundering. And you don't know where the edges are. And you don't know where danger lurks. And you're frail and vulnerable. Blind Bartimaeus. And in all of the things we say about him physically, we must immediately take them and translate them to the world spiritually. To ourselves. What we say about him, we're saying about ourselves spiritually, in spiritual terms. We don't see and don't understand the spiritual world about us. We don't see ourselves. We don't understand ourselves and we're just floundering along. We don't know what is waiting for us. We're going so close to the edge. We're going in the place of danger, and we don't know anything about it. We're dependent, like Bartimaeus, for someone maybe to take us away from danger, to lead us by the hand. Bartimaeus had to beg. He had no light, nor had he any bread. He had to rely upon the generosity of others. He had no resources to draw on himself. When anything were to come his way, he was immediately the bottom of the pile. When illness or storms of life and problems came, he didn't have anything to draw upon. Nobody came to help him. His life was meager, hard, vulnerable, rough. He had little or no joy. Trying to find his way through life, all he could do was stumble and sit each day outside the city. Blind Bartimaeus. And again we take it to ourselves because we don't have any understanding of what's going on round about us, to be sure. We don't have any resource to draw upon when things come hard upon our lives. We don't have much joy in life living as we are, where we are. There is in us a reflection of Bartimaeus in so many terms, in the broadest, boldest directions and descriptions of his life. Do we then realize what we truly are? Do we have an understanding of our own selves and of our own lives? God, when we gather here underneath the teaching of the gospel, God is dealing with us honestly and realistically. And he is telling us about ourselves time and time again. It's all too obvious and painful what Bartimaeus was and what his life was like. But notice what he did. Blind as he was, bereft of any or much of the joy of life, bankrupt as far as resources were concerned. But what did he do? He sat by the wayside. He put himself in a place where he could get help. He put himself where others would give to him. Maybe it was a meager donation, but it was better than nothing, because that's all that he had. He put himself in the place where he could get help. And again, there's a spiritual message there for ourselves, to put ourselves in the place where we can get help. Today, there are so many people who do not see the need of any attendance at church or attendance at church services. Oh yes, they'll go on the special occasions, like this very day, Remembrance Sunday, you'll have a higher than normal attendance. The same occurs with Christmas time, or Easter Day, or it might be some particular personal anniversary. But these are the few occasions when people will come. They don't put themselves regularly and often in the place of looking to God, casting themselves upon God. They don't put themselves in the place where they can have God's help given to them. We are taught by Bartimaeus then to protect, cultivate, to be in the place where the Lord can help us, where we're listening to what he says to us, and where he will minister to us in our very point of need. To be in the place faithfully attending church services and the means of grace, that is a tremendous source of blessing for us all. And our society and people today are the poorer because of what they are missing out on and lacking. People think that they've got a fullness of life when they cut out anything of religion from their agenda. And we can say firmly and clearly that what they're doing is making themselves the poorer for it. The care of Christ, the condition of Bartimaeus. Thirdly, we see here the cry that he made. There was a persistence about this man. Jesus was going to Jerusalem and he had to pass through the city of Jericho. And there was a hustle and a bustle of activity and an increased buzz as the Lord passed through. And Bartimaeus, sitting by the wayside, could hear if he couldn't see. And so he asked the question, what's going on? Who's passing by? And he was told it is Jesus of Nazareth. And so as soon as he heard that, he called out immediately for help. He never saw the miracles, perhaps, that Jesus did, but he knew them as he was told of them. One of the things that happens when somebody is blind, there is a compensation in the other faculties of that they have. We depend upon our eyesight for so much of what's going on about us. And we just simply, if we're looking for something, or at least if we need something, we go looking for it. But if you're blind, you can't look for it. You've got to remember where you last put it. And so therefore, for somebody who is blind, there is often a very acute and powerful memory. And here is Bartimaeus being told things that were happening. And he would have remembered them vividly. And perhaps even applied them to himself. And so he cries out, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. There is that simple childlike faith from this man's cry that puts us to shame. We have the full scripture, we have a full New Testament, we have all the Gospels and all the writings. We have the examples of the saints. We've got commentaries. We've got autobiographies. We've got history. We've got experience. We've got so much piling up to encourage us. And yet here we have that childlike confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, casting himself upon the mercy and the power of God, that often challenges us because we are not like him. Here is Bartimaeus. He wasn't going to be a silent bystander. But he called out to the Lord. Here in the service, the Lord is present with us. He is present, as it were, walking through our company in the message and the readings that we've got. Here is the Lord mixing and mingling with us. Do we not, will we not cry out to him for our need, in our need? Will we not call out to him as Bartimaeus did, have mercy upon me? Will we not cry out to him with that conviction and realization that he indeed is able to help us? Because who knows when next he might pass by us? Who knows if we will ever have this opportunity again? And we should not be put off. Don't be intimidated in this cry. Bartimaeus wasn't. Bartimaeus wasn't put off because the people put him down. They try to hush him up and say, look, don't disturb Jesus. He's on a busy mission. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Just sit by the wayside and be quiet. And Bartimaeus wouldn't tolerate that. He was bold and persistent. Wasn't going to be intimidated by anything. Neither should we. No matter who's round about us or who's with us. No matter what man might think or man may say. No matter what people might poke fun at us or anything else like that because we've been in church.
Don't be put off. Don't be intimidated. But be bold. Be bold to cry out and to call out to the Lord because of the need, a spiritual need that you feel in your conscience for pardon and forgiveness. You need a Savior and you don't have one just now. And Jesus is passing by. He would have nothing hold him back. The crowd, he wouldn't tolerate the crowd from holding him back. Not even would he tolerate his cloak. Verse 50 tells us, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Think of what that means. Not only the persistence, but the belief that he had that he was going to have his sight. Because remember, he was blind. He didn't see things. And if he left his garment behind, how was he going to get it again if he didn't have his sight? Here is the eagerness, the persistence, the faith, the confidence that he was going to get what he was asking for. The cry of Bartimaeus. The cry that we need to have ourselves. Not to be distracted. Not to be held back or deflected. Not to be turned away. As Jesus is in our midst and passes amongst us this morning. Yes, the care of Jesus. Yes, the condition of Bartimaeus. Yes, the cry of the man. And then lastly, I want us to think of the cure of the man. Jesus was preoccupied, to be sure. He was pressing on, most certainly. But he stopped and he stood still. He stopped, he stood still. And what was it that made him do so? What was it that made him stop in his tracks? It was that cry for mercy and help. And it is the same cry with the same effect today. That when we are at our wits' end corner, when we've come to the end of our resources, and when we've come to see the enormity of the problem we face, and there is nothing and no one to solve it for us, when we come to the prospect of meeting God and we're not ready to do so, when we're aware that we're in spiritual debt over our heads and we cannot discharge our bankruptcy, when we're in that kind of experience with the feelings that these things carry, when we feel burdened and concerned, all that we can do, and the Bible gives us encouragement to do so, all we can do is cry out, Lord, have mercy upon me. That publican gathered with the sinner, with the Pharisee rather, and that publican could not even lift his eyes to heaven, but all he said was, have mercy upon me. And to cast ourselves upon the mercy of God will have the same effect in heaven and in glory as with Bartimaeus here. This is the cry that will arrest the king. This is the cry that will reach the Savior. This is the cry that is so much more powerful than any many other things that we say. The help, the need of our soul. And the Lord spoke to him. There are times when the Lord speaks to us, and it's a fearful thing to be underneath the message. He puts his finger upon things that are wrong in our lives. He sets before us the prospect of eternity and our lack of preparation for it. The Lord speaks to us as he spoke to Bartimaeus, but there are times when he speaks just as he did with Bartimaeus, with that still, small voice. And he breaks into our thinking and to our living. And he says to us the most astonishing and the most amazing of things. The Lord says to us, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" He's not testing the ability of the Lord. That's not what's under issue here. What is under issue here is the intensity of the desire of Bartimaeus. Does he really want something that desperately? Is he hungry for it that much? Is it something that is so pressing upon him more than anything else? That's the test, not of the Lord to deliver, but that's the test of Bartimaeus in his desire. What do you want more than anything else? I want my sight. I want my eyes to be opened. And I want to see myself as a sinner. But especially I want to see the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. Perhaps he's heard many stories of what went round about the community. There would have been many things spoken of as the Lord went from village to village, community and city. And they would have been talking about what he was saying and what he was doing and the way in which this one and that one was saved. And everything that Bartimaeus had was second hand. Oh, there were so-and-so down the street or in the marketplace. There were so-and-so down by the river and they got saved. And it was all second-hand for Bartimaeus. But now he wants it for himself. No more second-hand stories. No more second-hand experience. Lord, I want this for myself. The cry of his heart and the way the Lord spoke to him and gave him his sight. Go in faith. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. What then is the most important thing for us? Our spiritual sight, that we might see and that we might trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, there are many things pressing in upon us. There are many things our agenda in life today. Illness might be pressing. We might have a problem we've got to deal with and we don't know the way to deal with it. We might have something that's requiring our attention that will involve a sacrifice. Yes, there are so many other things that we can paint into the picture. But Bartimaeus and his experience cuts across them all. As the Lord speaks to us and asks us the same question this morning, what do you want me to do for you? May we have the grace and may we be able to speak just like Bartimaeus did. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thy name for thy word to us this morning and for the way in which thou dost come amongst us to mix with us and speak to us. Lord, we have great and gracious provision. May we use them well. And Lord, we pray that thy word might arrest us where we are and that what we've heard might strengthen us in what we have to do. That we call out to thee, cast ourselves on thy mercy, and be persistent until we find rest and peace from thyself. Lord, deal with us in thy grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing some words from Psalm 13. Psalm 13 and the last four verses, singing from verse 3 to the end. O Lord my God, consider well and answer to me, make mine eyes enlighten. And you can see the relevance of this psalm to the meditation we had in the life of Bartimaeus. Mine eyes enlighten, lest the sleep of death me overtake. Lest that mine enemy should say, against him I prevailed, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved and failed. But I of all my confidence thy mercy set upon. My heart within me shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will unto the Lord my God sing praises cheerfully, because he hath his bounty shown to me abundantly.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide